أعوذ بالله من الشيطان، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من السنة بسنته المقيم، أما بعد. Last time we stopped on verse number 77, where we have covered so far about in the story of Yusuf al-Islam. Hopefully today we'll finish because this is the last section. just to recap where we left off last Thursday, that the brothers of Yusuf al-Islam came back with Binyamin to Yusuf al-Islam, and he was on the throne, and he made up the plan with the, of course, inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made up the plan to put the golden, the glass or the bowl of the king in the bag of Binyamin so that he can, you know, trap him, and then, I mean, trap him in the sense of good sense from his brothers and hold him back, because the brothers, of course, were following their father Yaqub al-Islam's law, and in the law of Yaqub al-Islam, the punishment for the thief, if they are caught stealing something, would be that the person will become a slave to the person who owns that thing that they stole. Because the law of the king of Egypt was that if you caught someone stealing and they have proof, then they would be killed. So Yusuf al-Islam did not want his Benjamin to be killed or lost. He rather wanted him free and come with him. And also, if you remember, we talked last time that when the brothers came, their father Yaqub al-Islam had told them enter from separate doors, so that because of hasad, because of envy and jealousy, that people might try to attack them. In regards to that, we forgot to mention the hadith of Rasulullah, where he says that al-aynu haq. I mean, these things about nazar, about eyesight. He said al-aynu haq. In another riwayah, he said al-aynu tunziru fil qabr. In one hadith, he said that the eye is truth, is what, it's haq. It does attack on the personality of the person. If somebody sees with an evil eye, person can become sick, they can become, you know, ill, or they can have some sort of accident or mishap. And the other hadith says that the eye is so powerful, it can put someone into grave. Which basically the tafsir of the hadith means, it can be so powerful, nazar or hasad from the eye, that it can kill a person. They can get sick or in accident, they get killed. And I know that in our Indian Pakistani culture, they put a black dot, kala tika laga do, or something, and things like that. Those are bogus things. They don't have any substantiation. The Sahaba asked Rasulullah, how should we protect ourselves from nazar, from the eye? Of course, he said that whenever you wear a good dress, whenever you make yourself good, even with our kids, we're going to some apika, walim, or somewhere, and your children are looking very good in nice clothes, always recite that du'a for putting on clothes. There's a du'a to recite when you look in the mirror. There's a du'a to recite when you put on new clothes. And there's a du'a when you put the powder and, you know, you're making up your grooming the son and daughter. And there's a du'a at that time to recite, which is Ayatul Kursi and the Ma'udah Tain. When you recite all this and blow on the child or blow on yourself, and then you go to the function, the gathering, even if somebody really sees with an evil eye, says, oh, what a beautiful, things like that, nazar taalne ki zarurat nahi. I mean, there's no reason to take off that evil eye spell, because it is protected. Immunity. In other words, when we seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting these things, we immunize ourselves, like vaccination. So even in the gathering, there is someone that is bad and looking, always looking and staring and glaring at you or the son or the daughter, they will be protected. Moving on forward, we saw that Benjamin, when he came into the clutches or into the hands of Yusuf al-Islam, Yusuf al-Islam told him that, look, I'm your brother, Benjamin. I mean, I'm your brother, Yusuf. Don't tell anybody, I mean, don't tell your brothers. Because he had tried to inform him that, look, rest assured, I'm with you, I'm your brother that you lost from a long time. And he just wanted to tell him that because this was before the plot, so that when Benjamin is caught with that bowl or the glass of the king, he doesn't get nervous, he doesn't get scared. So that's why Yusuf al-Islam told Benjamin ahead of time. He didn't tell him of the plan, what I'm going to do, but he told him, look, I'm your brother Yusuf from a long time, but don't tell these other brothers. because he wanted to hide his identity still from the others. And then finally, when the whole issue came and he was found, Yusuf al-Islam said to his brothers, okay, you have to leave Binyamin with me. You know, this is, we've discovered the problem, we've discovered the fun, so he has to come with me. And that's where we start verse 76. Today, verse 77, Allah SWT tells us, قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. They said, the brothers said in response, قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِقْ, you know, once they found out that Binyamin in his bag, he has that thing from the king, the glass or the golden cup, the brothers, they disowned themselves. They ditched, in other words, they, you can say, they ditched their brother Binyamin. How? They said, قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Oh, he's still, yeah, he's a bad guy. Yeah, he's our brother, yeah, but he's a bad guy. He stole, because suddenly his other brother also stole once. In other words, who's his other brother? Yusuf as that. They're telling the king, they're telling Yusuf, you know, move it. But Yusuf as that cannot react, because if he reacts, they'll know, oh, this is Yusuf. So that's why, look at the word that are used. فَأَسَرَّهَا, أَسَرَّ سِرْ means hide, secret. فَأَسَرَّهَا Yusuf. Yusuf as that became hyper. How dare you accuse me that I'm a stealer? Because Binyamin and Yusuf are blood brothers, same father, same mother. These others are stepbrothers. So they said, the stepbrothers, Shatelapandikhali, they showed their step brotherhood. They said, oh yeah, this is not our brother. He stole, his other brother also stole. Ye dono hi chore hai. Do hai. Wo pehla bhi chor tha, ye bhi chor hai. Chalo isko rakh lo, koi baat. Fa in yasrik, qalu yasrik, faqad saraka akhun lahu min qalb, fa sarra Yusuf fi nafsihi, وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. Yusuf al-Islam held back his emotion, held back his rage, because he knows that they are lying. The story that the Mufassirin, the scholars say, what, why did the brothers accuse Yusuf al-Islam of stealing? Yusuf al-Islam is still young. As you know, that he was a prophet from day one, from young. And he and his father Yaqub had a good relationship, and they would talk to each other. The grandfather of Yusuf al-Islam from the mother's side, not the father's side, because the grandfather of Yusuf al-Islam from the father's side is who? Ishaq, yes. The father of Yaqub, Ishaq. He's the grandfather of Yusuf. So, the grandfather, the dad of Yusuf is Ishaq. The nana, the maternal grandfather of Yusuf al-Islam, he used to worship idols. So Yusuf al-Islam, being a young boy and being on Tawheed, see, this is a good thing of Allah is giving us a lesson here of how to nurture our kids. Even if your kid is small, you nurture and groom them, nourish them with iman, they will do good deeds. Yusuf al-Islam did a good deed. He saw his nanajan worshipping the idol, the statue, so he stole it. He stole it and got rid of it. The brothers remembered this. The brothers, elder brothers, they knew, oh, Yusuf, he stole our nana's, our grandfather's idol. So he's a stealer. He's a thief. But they didn't say over here that he did a good thing. This is a good stealing. To stop someone from shirk, to stop someone from worshipping idol, it's not a stealing. It's a good deed. Amal Saleh. But they remembered that at this instant, that's why they said that, oh, if Binyamin stole, his other brother Yusuf, long time ago, he stole also. But they did not clarify what did he steal and why did he steal. The Mufassirin, as they say, that this is what Yusuf's son stole, and he stole for a reason, to stop his maternal grandfather, Nana, from doing shirk. So Yusuf al-Islam replied back to them, قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌ مَكَانٍ. You guys are the worst in terms of judgment, in terms of deciding. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah knows about what you are saying and what you're doing. Meaning he's referring it to, or he's putting it up to Allah, that Allah knows that if that young boy Yusuf stole at that time, why he stole and for what reason stole, you guys are worst in judge as a judge, and you don't realize what you're saying. You're unnecessarily putting a tuhma, buhtan, accusation on someone without giving the reality. Then in verse 78, Allah tells us that they say to him, قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزُ إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا فَخُذْ أَحَدًا مَكَانًا. When Yusuf al-Islam said, hey, Binyamin, come here, that's it. He's under my custody now. I have to arrest him. Because according to what you suggested, because see, remember we said this last Thursday, that Yusuf al-Islam threw the ball in their court. He said, he asked them, what do you propose the punishment for someone who is caught stealing? All of them unanimously at that time, they said, yes, because they did not know who stole at that moment. And they know that they didn't steal. So they openly, and if they sound out, go, oh yeah, that person becomes slave venue. Now when the taftish investigation happened, and they found, oh, Benjamin is the one, they got in trouble. Unke rang badal gaye, faak ho gaye, pura chehra faak ho gaye. And they become so scared. Oh, this is a problem. We said that thing, thinking it's not one of us. But now it's one of us. And the one it is the one, our own brother, Benjamin. And that means he is going to be here, that means we're going to go empty-handed, that means Father Yaqub is going to get very, very mad. Because why? He had given them an oath. He said, look, the only way I will let Benjamin go with you, you give me an oath. Mawfiqam min andallah. Meaning you swear by Allah, we will come back with Benjamin. The only reason, Yaqub Islam said, the only way you cannot come back with your brother Benjamin is that if you are imprisoned, or that you are dead, or the enemy kills you. If that happens, then I'm willing to let you go off the hook. But if you come back alone, without your brother Benjamin, so now they became scared. And that's what they said, قَالُ يَهِيُ الْعَزِيزِ O Master, O King, إِنَّ لَهُ Verily for this brother of ours, Benjamin, أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا He's a very old father, and very fragile, frail health, old father. فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانًا Take one of us instead of him. Meaning they are willing to spare one of them. They are willing to, but they want to, because this time they are dead serious. This is showing the difference in their attitude. At the beginning of the surah with Yusuf Islam, they were not serious. They were playing games with their father. They are trying to magamach ke asu and they are trying to, you know, they are trying to play games with him and plot him just to bluff him, and because they wanted to definitely get rid of Yusuf. And that's why when they took Yusuf to the desert, they got rid of him. Here, they are serious. They don't want to get rid of Benjamin. In fact, they are pleading on behalf of Benjamin, please, take one of us, meaning put us handcuffed, take us as your prison, let him go. That shows that this time they are dead serious to return. And this time they are also dead serious that they are not the one who stole, because they didn't do anything. And then look how they do buttering. They say, إِنَّ نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Verily we see you from the good doers. Oh, you're a very good person, you're very nice, please take one of us, let him go. You know, they saying, you know, we're not letting you empty, you know, there is one of us going to be ransom at you, give you the clothes. But let him go, because they, this time, all of them, all 10 of them had taken oath, qasam, with their father, we will definitely bring back Benjamin. And they knew that the one who breaks oath of Allah is doomed, destroyed, devastated. So they did not, at least, what is the, as the scholars say in Tafsir over here, what is Allah trying to show us over here? He's showing that if there are people who are mischievous, agar kharab log hain, and they are bad people, they have bad desires, and they do bad deeds, but their heart has some good in it. That's the good we are seeing over here. These brothers are very bad. They did so bad with their brother Yusuf Islam. And they also tortured him. And they did bad with their brother Benjamin also. But over here, they're really serious with their father. There is some good in them. Otherwise, they could have said easily, oh yeah, keep it. We'll just make another excuse with their father. But no, no, no. They are begging, they are pleading, they're requesting, please, king. They don't know who this king is. But they're requesting anything because they really want to get Benjamin back to Yaqub Islam. And this is showing the good. Meaning if you see someone is bad, don't write them off. Don't judge on them. Don't prejudge on someone. Oh, this person is bad. Whoever it is, whether it's a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, a nephew, a niece, son, daughter, father, mother, whatever relationship, whatever relatives you have in this world, if someone is bad, don't write them off. That is the message Allah is giving. Remember I told you again and again, Surah Yusuf has a encyclopedia of wisdom in it. In number one in what? In interpersonal relationships. Allah is saying, yes, these brothers were bad, but there is some good in them. This time they are dead serious and they are doing their endless desire to get Benjamin back. But Yusuf Islam is seeking his revenge. He wants to get even with them, even Stephen. They did so bad to him, so now there is no way he's going to let Benjamin go. Because for so many years he was bichhadagat. He was separated from his brother. Benjamin is his blood brother. After so many years, 20 years, 22 years, as the scholars say, between this time and the time that Yusuf Islam was separated, after 22 years, he gets his brother back. How on earth is he going to let him go? No way. There's no way that he's going to melt or soften for the sake of his brothers. And he wants his brothers to learn a lesson. That look, you did so bad with me last time. At that time, you were mischievous. You had the wrong niyyah, wrong intention. this time at least your intention is clean. The intention is clean. Why would they say take us in place of Benjamin if the intention was not clean? No. The intention is clean, they are serious, they are sincere, they want to do everything. But Yusuf Islam is bent upon, no way, Jose. I'm not sending my brother back to you. You do whatever you have to do. Now look, the beauty of Yusuf Islam, he knows the character of his brothers. So then he gives him the excuse, go tell our father. I mean, he doesn't say that. He said, go tell your father. This is the excuse. What excuse? قَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ أَنَّا نَأْخُذَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَدْنَا مَتَعْنَا عِنْدَهُ إِنَّا إِذًا لَظَالِمُونَ. First thing, he gives the excuse. He says, no, I can't take you in place of this person. Why? Because if I do that, I will be a zalim. The law says, whoever did caught stealing, that has to be there. If I replace you, I am starting a new precedence. I am changing the law, tahrif. If I do this today, for centuries in Egypt, this will start ongoing. So I don't want to do a bid'ah, innovation. Number one. Number two, he said, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah from doing something such major as this. Illa man wajidna al-mata'al ando. Except that the person who we found that had our property, that is the one. So he's saying, I cannot start a new precedence, I cannot change the law, modify it, nor can I break the law. So in other words, he's giving his excuse. They gave their excuse, please take us in place of him and let him go. He said, I'm also bounded. I'm handcuffed. I have no law. It's like you go in front of a judge, you plead in front of a judge in the court. The judge says, yes, my heart is soft. I can do whatever I want to. But the law of the United States of America prohibits me from being any lenient. So this is what I have to do. This is the rule. You have to follow. And he's giving his own excuse, and because he wants them to accept the excuse. In the next ayah, verse number 80, in four words only, Allah summarizes a whole big event. What? فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا, and when they got fed up and frustrated, when they got tired, because they kept requesting, pleading, requesting, he did not listen. He didn't even budge a single inch. Ek aana bhi unhone Yusuf Aslan ne unhone apne aap ko nahi badla. So they saw that, oh, there's no way, there's no fayda, there's no benefit, this guy's not going to change. So they kept, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is going fast forward. It's like as if you're watching a video, a DVD, you press the fast forward button. Meaning how long it took them, they went back and forth, they went, did some shura amongst themselves, then they went to Yusuf Aslan, make excuses. So Allah is giving one word, stay-asu. Stay-asu means frustrated or tired of something, doing again and again, repetitively. Meaning they repetitively kept on requesting. But instead of giving four or five ayats about this whole event, Allah could fast forward and put in four words. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا وَخَلَصُوا نَجِيَّ. When they got tired of this, they got together and they... Najiyya, Najah means private conversation. It's like here we have two people get up from here and say, we want to go outside or in the corner, and they start talking. So the brothers, when they saw in the palace, in the lobby of the palace, the king is not listening, they went in the side, start talking, come back, start talking. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. The bigger of the brothers, in the private conversation, he said to his brothers, don't you know that we have taken an oath with our father, that we have to return Benjamin, you know, safe and sound and everything. وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفَ, and what you have done from before Yusuf, meaning your father is going to be devastated. Your father is going to be, that's it, it's going to be the end of his life. Maybe he might have a heart attack and die. Because what we did with Yusuf, at that time we were bad, meaning the bigger brother is accepting his guilt and their guilt, collective guilt. That first time we had the wrong intention, we did bad. This time we don't want to do bad, but we're stuck. We're stuck in a predicament. Allah is teaching us a lesson. That those who always have wrong intentions, wrong desires, at times they'll go by. When the first time they did bad to Yusuf, Allah let them go. Allah did not hold them. They didn't mess up their plan. Their plan went as planned. It went, it was executed, it carried on. But this time they had no plan, but they're stuck. They have no way out. The message Allah is giving, those who have bad heart and bad intention, at times they do bad thing and they go by. They don't get caught, they don't get stuck. Their plans don't get messed up. And they think, oh, everything was executed so smooth and sound, nothing happened. Huh, see, we are fine. Oh, Allah loves us, nothing happened. But now that they don't want to do bad, they want to do good. But they're stuck. And who has made them stuck? Allah, the master of plans. So Allah is teaching us a lesson. If you see people around yourselves, in front of your eyes, you see people doing bad and getting loose and getting free, getting away with it, and you think, what kind of qanun is this? What is the nizam of Allah? You know how sometimes people say that, where is Allah? I don't see Allah. Where is Allah? There are so many bad people doing so many bad stuff. Allah doesn't catch them. What? No. Allah gives them release, gives them leverage, flexibility. How long? How long? But when Allah does pagar, holds them tight. So tight, it means tightrasi. I mean, such a tight noose that Allah ties on their neck, they suffocate. Right now, they suffocate. They're trying their best. Please, King, let us go. Please, let the brother go. Take us, take two of us, take money, take everything. But please let him go, because we took an oath with Allah, with our Father, that we'll send Binyan. But Allah is saying, no. You are bad. You have to go through that. And they have to. Because the first time they did it with the wrong intention for one of their brothers, this time they had no intention bad for another brother, which is another stepbrother. Binyamin, Yusuf are blood brothers, and the others are step. So Allah is showing them, because this is what we say in Urdu, I don't know what we say in English, makafat-e aman. What goes around, comes around. You did something bad the first time, it will come back to haunt you. But the second time it comes, makafat-e aman, when it comes back to you, it grips you so tight, you suffocate. Literally, like you tie a noose around someone's neck and stretch it. They have no way out. This time they want to get out of this predicament. This time they want to get out from this difficulty, parashani, musibah. But they're not. And even Yusuf al-Islam, he says, I want to help you. But he says, I'm tight. The law, I can't change the law. If I change the law, the rest of the humanity will say that I did something wrong. So the lesson we learn over here is, brothers and sisters, that don't be disheartened, don't be depressed, don't be sad when people around you in your world, in your society, are doing bad and getting away loose. Or if someone did harm to you at a certain stage of life, don't feel sad that, oh, I've been oppressed, I've been run, mazloom, where is my insaf? Like last week in the question and answer session, one of the sisters was saying, do we have to stand up for justice? Yes, at times yes, but at times just leave it. Because insaf, adil, justice will come from Allah. Allah will make sure that what someone did bad to you once will also come back and return. Makafati amal wat, that if someone did bad to your son and daughter when they were young, Allah will bring back something bad to their son and daughter bad later on. I'll give you an example. There was one lady from a place that I know, that's hiding confidentially. There's one lady, she did so bad that she made someone divorce the wife. She was so mischievous, she was so bad, we were talking about, back in Pakistan. She made it, that everybody knew that, look, how bad this lady is. She made these two couples fight, and then divorce. That was long time ago, when her daughter was 4 or 5 years old. Today, after almost 18 years, her daughter got married at age 18, graduated from high school. 1 week after the marriage, talaq, divorce. Makafat-e amal. Meaning Allah is saying, if 18 years ago you did not take revenge, you left her on Allah, you did sabr, like Yusuf al-Islam, he's still sabr. He was sabr for 22 years. Now his brothers are stuck, good. 18 years later, that same lady who made another couple separate, she lived 18 years happily ever after, fine, not knowing that her daughter, when she's going to be married a week after, is going to be not just divorced, but a very brutal divorce. Because the husband being, and the family of the in-laws, everything. I mean, the whole story was so horrendous, personally, like, you feel sad. But then you sit back and say, wait, why did Allah happen this to her? 18 years ago, kahani dhaharari, history repeat. She was very ruthless in making mischief between two couples. So why would Allah let her go now? For 18 years, she thought that, oh, I'm off the hook, nothing happened. I'm healthy, alive, no accident, no sickness, everything is fine. See, Allah didn't catch me. No, Allah caught you. Caught you in your own family. Now she's crying and sobbing. Who's going to marry her daughter? 18 years. Every door she goes, she comes. Meaning, look how Allah brought back makafat-e aman. What goes around, comes around. But Allah is saying, Muslims or reader of Quran, be known that if you think you can do something wrong, someone, and get away, no. It's going to come back to haunt you in your life, if not your life, in your daughter or son's life. If not done in the ground, but Allah, before death, Allah will make it square, even. She did bad, she made a couple fight and get this divorce, she had to bhugatna pada, she had to fill it up herself. And now she accepts, she regrets that had I not done that, at least my daughter would have been happily. Now it's more dangerous for her. Now in old age, she's going to live a depressing, bad kind of life. But the thing is, people don't learn a lesson. That's the problem. That's what Allah is saying. That if a person, you wake them up before it's too late and they learn a lesson, it's good. But if they don't, they have to suffer the consequences. Then Allah says here, فَلَنْ أَبْرَهَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنْ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. The elder brother says to his brothers in the conference call, in the private conversation, I will not go from here until I die, or that Allah or make some other alternate arrangement, because I cannot face my father, Yaqub al-Salam, back over there without Binyamin. When he is doing his best to get Binyamin, he said, I'd rather die here. And it reminded me of that lady. She said, "Isse achha toh main mar jaati, apne beti ke talaq nahi dekhti." And I said to myself, you should have thought about it when you were trying to make mischief with that family and everybody in the brotherly, everybody in the family saying, don't do this, you're doing haram, you're doing bad. But she said, but she thought in her time, no, I'm doing the right thing. This divorce has to happen. And she made the divorce. Now she's saying, I wish I died before this happened to my daughter. It's the same thing that this brother of Yusuf is saying, I wish I died before going empty-handed to my father, Yaqub al-Salam. And then he says, اِرْجَعْ إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ فَقُولُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّ أَبْنَكَ صَرَفْ. Now Yusuf al-Salam is showing here that he's strict on his judgment. So the brother is saying, let's go back to our father and say to him, يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّ أَبْنَكَ صَرَفْ وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا وَمَا كُنَّا الْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ. Go back to your father, Yaqub al-Salam, tell him your brother has been stolen. Sorry. Okay? Your son has stolen and he's caught. And because he's caught, he cannot be released. It's beyond our means, beyond our control. Meaning he's saying, the only way we can go back to our father, Yaqub al-Salam, is that we go and tell our father that your son, Binyamin, and our brother, we went there, we want to bring him back safe and sound, but he stole over there. And therefore, because as a result of his stealing, he was caught, and he has to come, and he has to stay there. And that's why we're empty-handed over here. وَسْأَلْ قَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا. And then they're saying this now, that we'll tell our father, that, oh father, ask the village, ask the city where we went, ask everyone over there, they'll give you proof. Why? Because this thing happened in the palace. So the news spread like wildfire, that there's a young boy, Binyamin, who stole the king's cup, golden cup. He was caught red-handed and now he is enslaved with the king, who happens to be his own brother. But nobody knows. Only Yusuf and Binyamin know. So they're saying that we'll go back to our father and we'll say, look, your son and our brother, he stole, he got caught. And if you don't believe us, ask the whole city, they'll tell you. وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا. And ask the caravan that came with us. Everybody in the caravan, and send a messenger to Egypt and ask the city, you'll find all the sources confirm that we are clean. We didn't do anything. They're trying to show their innocence and they're trying to show their alibi that we had no wrong desire, we had no wrong intention, but we stuck. And we're stuck in the same predicament where last time we were the one who initiated it. They're trying to show, because at that time they said to their father that you will not believe us even if we were truthful. Well, I couldn't have thought differently. Remember, we talked about this so many times previously, that the brothers, they told their father that Yusuf al-Salam, he got eaten by the wolf, which is a lie. And they said to their father, you will not believe us even if we were truthful. In other words, they're saying we are liars. Here it's different. Here they're saying, وَإِنَّ رَفَادِكُمْ. Ask the city people living there, ask the caravan that came from Egypt, ask everybody, it is the truth, your son, our brother, he did steal. وَإِنَّ لَصَادِقُونَ. And we are surely the truthful. They're not saying وَلَوْ كُنَّ صَادِقِينَ. See the difference in the words in the ayah? Over there the ayah said وَلَوْ كُنَّ صَادِقِينَ. Even if we were truthful, you would not believe us. But here the ayah is different. Allah is saying that they said to their father, even that we are truthful, believe us. For Allah's sake, believe us, because we took an oath with you for Allah's oath, and we are truthful, and we are giving you evidences for our truth. How? Ask the caravan, ask the people in Egypt, call up the king over there and ask them that, yes, did Binyamin steal? Yeah, and the king will confirm to it. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَدْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ عَسَى اللَّهُ يَعْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. The father says, Yaqub al-Islam, that no, this is your own self. He still doesn't believe them. He still doesn't believe them. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ. This is your own child and chaplaincy. This is your own desires and your own game plan, your own mischievous things. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He replies back. In reply, he says what? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I make extreme sabr. You took my young son Yusuf long, long time ago, 22 years ago. You took another son of mine, Binyamin, 22 years later. I neither trusted you then, nor can I trust you now. That at that time you also did your plan, so what this time also it's your plan. Meaning I'm not gonna go, he's saying to them, his son's back, I'm not gonna ask the caravan, nor am I gonna ask the city over there. I'm just gonna do sabr, sabrun jameel. And then he says again what? As Allah and yet, you may be him jameel. Perhaps Allah will bring both of them back. Subhanallah. Yaqub al-Islam has not given up the idea that his son Yusuf, lost 22 years ago, is dead. He believes in his heart, he's alive, and Allah is going to bring both of them back. Not one son, two sons, they're both going to come back. Because they both got separated from the father in the same manner. First time, they went with the brothers, one got killed or lost or whatever the story was. Second time, again, they went with the brother, and again the same thing happened. So Yaqub al-Islam is saying, I'm trusting Allah, sabrun jameel. Ulama of Tafsir say this ayah is the most powerful ayah in the whole surah of this, showing the tawakkul, the trust of Yaqub al-Islam, showing his commitment and his extreme link with Allah. In fact, the scholars of Tafsir say this ayah shows how you can become a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah. The way you can become a wali of Allah, or waliya for a female of Allah, meaning Allah does not just take a wali from men, even from women. There are many, many women in the past, history of Islam that have passed, who were waliya of Allah. They were very, very pious, very muttaqi, very close, friend of Allah. And Allah showered their rahmah and blessing. Meaning, the reason why the scholars of Tafsir say that this is the ayah indicating towards wali, because a wali of Allah, no matter how kitna bada pahar toot gaya unke upar, unki zaban se ek hi cheez nikalti, sabrun jameel. Sabrun jameel means a beautiful patience, a persevering of time. Never you will see that a wali of Allah, or wali of Allah, he or she, he will never bring complaint on their tongue. Even now that the second son is gone, Yaqub al-Islam is not complaining to Allah, or complaining to his sons, or pulling his hair, or getting in a frenzy, or getting hysterical, oh what is this, Allah took one son away, not so long. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ اتْمِنَانٌ. Like the mothers in Kashmir, mothers in Palestine, mothers in Iraq, mothers in Afghanistan, such mothers who've lost 10 sons, 5 sons, 6 sons, but do you see them pulling their hair? No, the mother says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. This is the meaning of Sabr Jameel, meaning no matter how heavy, how big and burden the musibah, the parashani on the wali of Allah comes, the only word that comes out is Sabrun Jameel. This is the message from this part of the surah of Yusuf alayhislam, that Allah is teaching us to try to be like Yaqub alayhislam. If you are a father or mother, if you are a son and daughter, whatever you are, uncle, aunt, whatever relationship you are, whenever you are faced with calamity, whenever you are faced with tragedy, whenever you are faced with some loss, first word that should come from your tongue is Alhamdulillah, sabr, sabr jameel. And no kind of hysterical frenzy or rage or this and that, because Allah loves Sabirin. Allah loves Mutawakkilin. Allah loves Muhsinin. These three qualities are interlaced together, like the fingers, when you bring them together, they're knuckle to knuckle. This is how these three qualities are intertwined, interlaced together. What are they? Sabirin, Mutawakkilin, and Muhsinin. Why? Because the scholars say, all these three things define the character of the Wali of Allah. Sabir, patient on everything. Mutawakkil. Because the one who lost something and they were sabr, immediately they do what? Tawakkal Allah. Rely on Allah. Depend on Allah. What did he say? Did he get bad? Did he get angry, upset? No. He said, Asa Allah an ya'tiya bihim jami'an. Perhaps Allah will bring both of them alive back. He's not saying, oh, may Allah give them blessing, may Allah keep them good wherever they are. No, no, no. He is showing his tawakkal Allah. Meaning we're learning volumes of information from the character of Yaqub al-Islam. Not only is Surah Yusuf teaching us about Yusuf al-Islam, but it is also teaching us about the father. Father, son, baap bete ki kahani chal rahi hai isme. और अगर उसकी से लोग अगर बेटा ऐसा है तो बाप को देखो कहां पे. इफ द सन इज लाइक दैट सो पेशेंट सो कूल एंड ट्रांसपायरिंग एवरीथिंग लुक एट द फादर मीनिंग हाउ डिड द सन बी लाइक दिस लुक एट द फादर बिकॉज फादर्स आर द फर्स्ट रोल मॉडल फॉर एवरी चाइल्ड फॉर एवरी सन एंड डॉटर इन द फैमिली. Yes, Rasulullah is the whole role model for every ummah, for the whole ummah. But Rasulullah is not in front of us. Who is in front of us? Our fathers. And that's why I always say to the brothers, before you marry, before you plan becoming a father, be very careful. Because once you become a father, once you Allah blesses your child, now you are on the mizan. It's like as if you khatere mein khada kar diya. The day you become a father, it's like you stand up on the stand in the court system, in the courtroom. You're standing on a mizan, on a scale. Because now every single move, every single word, every single facial expression will be very, very scrutinized and judged. By who? Allah? No. Your children. Oh dad, you did this. Oh dad, you said that. Oh dad. Every single, I mean, don't you see how kids, toddlers, kids, you know, 4 or 5 year old, say, oh, you said a bad word? And you're like, yeah, son, I'm sorry. Daughter, yeah. Because you said it, when you taught them, don't say a bad word. Now you say yourself, oh, you told me to pray, how come you didn't pray? But some fathers, you know, with all regret, with very sad, they say, oh, chalo, kya samajhte, apna aao, falaka ho. This is bad, this is wrong. Because you taught your own son and daughter, and now when they are pointing your mistake, you act in a much more derogatory way. I mean, some of our Indo-Pakistani fathers, can you imagine saying such a word? You know, it's such a degrading word. And what did the son learn? Okay, this is the tamiz, this is the manner that my father is teaching, that if some younger one shows you a mistake, just come down hard on them, say a bad word to them, or just, you know, kuchal dena. No. The problem in our society today is that fathers and mothers alike, when we are pointing our mistakes from our son daughter, we should immediately have a session, 2 minute talk session. Yes, son daughter, sit down. First thing, the psychologists say 2 things, praise them, encourage them, tell them you did a very good thing, because this will boost their morale, lift of the spirit, and then accept your guilt. There is no shy, no shyness in Iman, in Islam. There is no shame. The beauty of Islam is you did a mistake, accept the guilt in front of your children, because this is going to uplift their morale and make them more pious, in the sense that they will be careful not to make the same mistake. One son told me, he said, you know, Brother Jared, how I learned manners in my life? I said, no, tell me how. He said, I didn't learn it from the Quran. Yes, of course, I learned everything. And I didn't learn from Hadith, and I didn't learn from you as my teacher. I learned more of my manners from the mistakes of my father. Every time I see my father in the house doing wrong, scolding, shouting at my mother, or beating the door, doing things, I learned that, look, when I grow up to be, I'm not going to do this. Very big statement from a young boy. He said, life teaches you a lot, and your parents teach you more than everything. Because if you just make in your heart one commitment, I will not commit the same mistakes that my father and mother did. So what if they didn't listen to my nasiha? So what if they turn to me in a very derogatory way? When I become a father, I will not do the same thing. This requires courage, guts from a child. And teach your kids like this. Make your kids to be like empowered. Tell them, look, son, daughter, don't do the same mistakes I am doing. And tell them that, yes, I am your role model. And you do accept me as your role model. But remember, I'm a human being. I'm an insan. I can make mistakes. I'm not an angel. And the good thing is, I have a strong son and daughter like you who points my mistakes and then I correct them. I know of one daughter that made her father stop smoking. Ever since she grew up, she saw in the house, father is always smoking. 22 years later, now the father has given up smoking. And I asked him, did the nicotine patch work? Did the doctor work? Did the injection work? He said, no, my daughter worked. That was the only patch I needed. She forced it, finally, she made the father get rid. And that's what Allah SWT is teaching us here. That, be a good parent. Number one parenting skill is accepting your guilt if it's pointed out to you in front of you, and then giving them shabashi. Why? Because then they won't do this same mistake that you did. But if you thwart them, repel them in a bad manner that time, how dare you show me eyes, how dare you point my mistake, they're going to say, oh, that means it's okay to do it. Because if dad did it, and I pointed to him, he said, you know, don't tell me, that means you can do it, but just make sure you don't do it in front of people. That's the message that the kids get. Do the bad thing, but make sure you don't do it in front of people, because if somebody points out to you, you'll be in a wrong predicament to keep them quiet. So just do it behind people. Allah SWT is teaching a lot of information. Innahu al-alim al-hakim. Allah SWT says, remember, Yaqub al-Islam is saying to his sons, remember, Allah is the most knowledgeable, most wise. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُ وَقَالَ يَاسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفُ وَيَدَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَذِيمٌ. Then Allah tells us in verse 84 about Yaqub al-Islam, that now the reality sinks into him. First word he said, oh, Binyamin didn't come? He said, Sabrun Jameel. But after all, he's an insan. To be a wali of Allah, the wali of Allah, does not mean you can't shed tears, does not mean you can't show emotions, does not mean that you just make yourself stiff and dry. No. You show your emotions, you do anything, but you always keep in your brain one thing clear. Allah is my protector, Hami wa Nasir. Allah is Na'mul Mu'la wa Na'mul Wakil. But at the same time, I will show my emotions checked and balanced. I won't become hysterical, frenzy, loud, rowdy, no. Look how he's showing his emotions. Allah, the first ayah Allah said, that he showed his sabr and his tawakkul and muhsini. Of course, Yaqub al-Islam is from the muhsini, from the good doers. Those who are wali of Allah have these three things, like I said earlier, that they are patient, they rely and depend on Allah, and the reason they are patient and rely and depend on Allah, because they are always the good doers. They always do neki, amal salihat, muhsini, ahsan, ahsan, ahsan. As a result of their ahsan, Allah is rewarding them by increasing patience in them and increasing their dependency on Allah. So it's like a circle, recycle, again and again. So after he shows his good character, Yaqub al-Islam, he begins to cry. Cry as a father would cry. He remembers Yusuf al-Islam now. It's Binyamin who got held back, but he remembers Yusuf, meaning Prami Yadi Yadi. Memories come back to him. Oh, 22 years. Where is my son? Kis halat mein? Where is he? What is his condition? How is he going to be doing? He's remembering 22 years of separation. So, وَبْيَدَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. His eyes became watered from the huzn. Huzn means depression, sorrow, grief. Meaning, the loss of Binyamin sparked a remembrance, memory in the mind of Yaqub, and he began crying. I didn't lose one son, I lost two sons. So he begins crying. فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. Allah SWT says, how hard did he cry? He cried so hard, hiccups. You know, when a person gets under the grip of extreme fear of Allah, or grips sorrow, extreme depression sorrow, the person starts crying, not loud, but you can only hear sounds. You don't hear loud noises, but you hear sounds of hiccups. And little sound. I mean, if you are passing by a room, and inside this room you're hearing this kind of hiccup sound, you can tell, oh, there's somebody crying inside. This is the meaning of kazim. Kazim comes from kazam, which means a person is remembering the sorrow, grief alone, in their nafs. They're not talking to others, they're not telling others about their grief, but they're just silently and crying. It's not like, oh, this happened, oh, that happened, crying and wailing. It's not a wail. It's a silent cry, where the only noise you can hear is the hiccups or the sounds of the tears. And this is what the ulama said, this is the best way to show an emotion. You don't disturb the environment, you don't disturb others, you don't disturb anyone, but you're showing your grief and your utmost. This is the characteristic of a mutawakkil, of a person who relies on Allah. Because the one who relies on Allah and tells others that I rely on Allah, they will not complain to anyone. Why would they go, hey, listen, I'm gripped with this depression, I'm gripped with this grief. No. They don't catch anyone to relay their story. These are the people who don't open up. These are the people who keep their grief inside. They have an ocean of depression and grief in their chest. You know, because you know some people say, hey, come talk to me, release the pressure, release the grief inside. No. These are the people who, even if you tell them, offer them this, they'll say, no. My grief is good inside. The only one I complain or relay my grief to is Allah, not makhluk, khaliq, creator, not makhluk, creation. Why? Because Allah says here, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَهُ تَفْتَهُ يُوسُفُ حَتَّى تَكُونُ حَرَضًا أَتَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Yaqub al-Islam said, I don't complain to you, my sons, you, the stepbrothers of Yusuf and Binyamin, I don't complain to you my grief. I don't complain or relay to you my depression, my sadness, sorrow. No. Ashku basi wa huzni ila Allah. I complain or I relay my feelings and emotions of grief and sorrow and depression to Allah. Meaning you? No. You are a makhluk. You're my sons. Allah, my Khalik, my Creator, is well aware of my situation. So the only one I can relay to is him. In other words, he's not even doing it to his sons. You know, sometimes they say, psychiatrists in this world, that if you have something really paining you, anguish, disturbing you, perturbing you, talk to your dad, talk to your mom. Say, Mom, Dad, I want to sit down and talk to you. And you take out your depression, you take out your pressure, you release all the emotions and the things that are stored up, you do it. Likewise, sometimes parents do it to us. Sometimes you see a father or mother say, son, daughter, come, I want to talk to you. I want to share something to you. I have some grief. And then the son and daughter sits on the table and says, yes, Dad, go ahead. What do you have? Take it out. Let me listen. They do that. Psychiatrists say this is a good thing. And you do it. It's good sometimes. There's nothing wrong what I'm saying. But what the ulama of tafsir say, from this part, Allah is teaching that Yaqub is not even sharing with his own loved one's son or father in that case. He is doing it to Allah. Meaning, the highest way or the highest maqam of iman is you don't share what is in your chest, even to your son and daughter or father, mother, you share it to Allah. How? For us today, how? You sit down in seclusion and isolation, get a tasbih, zikr, start doing zikr of Allah, and then once you do zikr of Allah, after the zikr of Allah, you get into the mode of communication. Talk to Allah. Or, as the second thing that they say, you get into nafil salah. Make two niyyah intention of two rakah nafil. And in the nafil, you're praying. After the prayer, you make dua to Allah. In your dua, you're talking to Allah. And in the dua, you can do in your own language, any language. It doesn't have to be Arabic. Because dua is outside salah. During the salah, yes, you have to say everything in Arabic. So outside salah and dua, you can open your heart. You can open your chest. Open everything, the pressure that's built up, and just open up to Allah. Especially in the middle of the night, tahajjud, clearly. Because at that time, Allah loves the tears, Allah loves the emotions, Allah loves the depression that's coming out. Allah loves everything, all the pressure that's been released, Allah loves it. The next morning after fajr, your whole day you'll see you so relaxed, so serene, tranquil, because you have let it out, not to anyone on this earth. Why? Because everybody on this earth is a creation. You have let it out to who? The Creator, the Master, the Owner, the King. And then the King rewards you two ways. Number one, gives you peace, tranquility, and serenity. And number two, solves that problem that has been plaguing you, perturbing you. That's why I say every time someone calls or sends email and says, you know, tell me this dua, tell me that, in this predicament, in this situation, this dilemma of mine. One thing I always say is, pray tahajjud. And in tahajjud, let your heart out. Pour it out. Let it come. Let it drain. Because the one you're draining to is the Master and Owner of the dominion. And He loves that pouring. He loves that waterfall. He loves that extraction of the pressure. Whatever words comes out. Because whatever person says at that time is the most beloved thing to Allah. And then Allah not only solves that dilemma, that problem, predicament of that person that they're in, but relieves the pressure. And that's what Yaqub al-Islam is saying over here to his sons. That look, remember Yusuf alayhi salam. Remember Yusuf in your mind, in your sense. He's saying, I will remember Yusuf. You can't stop me. You, my sons, cannot stop me from remembering Yusuf. How long? Even if I die or if I reach old age. Meaning, the only thing that can stop me from remembering my son Yusuf, Yaqub al-Islam is saying this, is that either I die, meaning Allah takes my life, that's it. Once you die, you can't remember anymore. Or that I reach old age, such old age that my memory is lost. You know, he's saying these are the only two things that can stop me, which means what? For the rest of his life, until he reaches either these two things, he'll remember. That's how much he loved Yusuf al-Islam. Because the brothers, they tried to plot and plan this for the sake of getting this love out. But he's telling them, look, you failed. You, my son, you failed. And I won. Because I'm going to remember Yusuf, no matter how much you hate or dislike or have jealousy. And he's going on. يَا بَنَيَّ اِذْهَبُ فَتَحَسَّسُ مِنْ يُوسُفُ وَأَخِي وَلَا تَعِيسُ مِنْ رَحِي اللَّهِ. Now he gives them hope. Al-amal, that we say in Quran, in Arabic language, we say al-amal, amal meaning hope. First, he let his heart out and everything to Allah's will. And he complained, and he cried profusely. After his crying stopped, he then addressed his sons. He said, go back and search Yusuf and Binyamin and get them back. And do not give up. From who? Do not give up from the despair. Do not despair from the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah will help you. If you go sincerely and hopefully to come back with Yusuf and his brother bin Yamin, you will get it. فَلَمَّا دَخُلُوا عَلَيْهِ قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزُ مَسَّنَا وَإِحْنَا نَضُرُّ وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاةٍ فَأَوْفُوا لَنَا الْكَيْلَ وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. They went back to Yusuf Islam, and by this time it was 3 years had passed. Remember we said that in the dream he saw 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine. The famine had started. 3 years had passed. The first 3 years they got the food, because they came once, they got the food, they came second and third. So they got three times food. So 3 years have passed, 3 years of food store is gone. So now the fourth year has come and they are in famine, so they come back and they say to the Yusuf Islam, who is the king for them, he doesn't know them. He said, oh, here's our money, the whatever money we have, whatever savings we got left. We are poor, we have lost everything, we have nothing left. This is the jama punji. This is my jama punji, this is my storage money, my storage money, whatever I have. Here is it, take it and tasaddaq alayna, give us sadaqah, give us some extra food, more than the money is required to. وَأَوْفِ لَنَكَ تَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. Verily Allah rewards the people who give sadaqah, who do the good doers. قَالَ حَلَ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفُ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. Meaning they were crying in front of Yusuf Islam. You know how like somebody comes and says, this is my jamapun, this is my whole life savings, please take it and have rahma on us. You know, enough is enough, we're tired, we have hambukhachuk, we have suffered and we have learned a lesson. It's like that kind of scenario, graphic image Allah is giving. So Yusuf Islam, of course he's a human being and he has his brothers and he has a heart. He could not bear it anymore. He saw this hala condition of his brothers and he said, I think enough is enough. I've made them enough cry. I've made them suffer enough, you know. I've got what I wanted to achieve. So he says, and he begins to reveal the story to them. He says, هَلْ عَلَمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفْ وَأَخِي. Do you know, do you brothers know what you did with Yusuf? You used to have a brother, Yusuf, he was young. You know what you did with him and his brother, Binyamin? Because they used to torture both. Back in the old days, they used to torture both, Yusuf and his brother, Binyamin. Because they both were stepbrothers for them. And he's giving them a hint. He's not coming out openly, hey, I'm your brother Yusuf. He's trying to make them realize. Do you recall? Do you remember? Meaning, have you learned your lesson? Do you have remorse and guilt enough? Meaning, he wants to see, do they open up or does he have to tell them? The very next ayah, Allah chooses the right words in the words to give us an idea that unse raniye wo phat gaye. Phut ke phat gaye. They could not remain, you know, calm and composed. They broke open in tears and they just shattered. Their whole psyche and personality was shattered. They said, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَيُوسُفْ. Oh my God! You are the brother! Yusuf, that we left! I mean, the way the word I use here is to give you the graphic image as if the eyes are popping out, the mouth is dropping down, the jaws open, and the hands like, oh my God, you are the brother! Meaning they could not come to their senses. Oh, it clicked, you, meaning we've been dealing with our brother Yusuf all this time, for the last 3 years. All right, means they are just so emotional that they cannot express. And he says, قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفْ وَهَذَا أَخِي. Yes, I am Yusuf. Meaning he tested them, they passed the test, they didn't fail. They didn't say, oh no, we don't know what's Yusuf. He just gave them a hint, like a spark. Do you remember what you did with your brother Yusuf a long time ago? And that spark clicked in their mind. The scholars of Tafsir say here, if somebody has learned their lesson, this is a sign of their learning of the lesson. If they have gone through their mistakes and they have suffered a lot in their life, the sign that you can see is that when you show them some light, some nasiha, some good thing, they open up in crying and they accept their guilt and they cry. Crying is the biggest sign of accepting guilt and remorse. Rona. Or apne ghaltiyon ko maan lena, ye sabse badi nishani. This is the biggest sign of a person having a good heart. People may be bad outside, outwardly, but if their heart is good, this is a sign of that. Meaning Allah is teaching us, try to deal with people, try to interact with people in a good way, good manner, so that you can reform them. Don't make an evil person more evil by having a negative attitude towards them. Bring the good out of them. Extract the good characters out of them and reform them. This way you refine the society. Because society is filled up with corrupt people, evil people. But if we keep just throwing them in jails, keep punishing them, keep cutting off their hand, we're not solving the issue. Solve the issue at hand. Change the people in time. So he says, "Nah, this is me, Yusuf, and this is my brother Binyamin. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا." Look at the word Yusuf Islam used. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلِيْهِ. Allah has given man. Man means blessing, bounty. Allah has favored us. Allah has given us bounty, showered His blessing on us. Why? Because He says, Yusuf al-Islam gives the reasoning. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Yusuf al-Islam is teaching his brothers a lesson, lesson of life. Then look, Allah has definitely showered His mercy and blessings upon me and Minyan. Meaning how? You guys tried to get rid of us. But Allah did not get rid of us. Allah took care of us for 22 years. You don't know what I went through as your brother. You don't know how I was saved. You thought always that you threw me in the well, you got rid of me. That's it. You forgot about me. But all these years, Allah gave His money, His blessing, His bounty, and He protected me. He saved me. He gave me food. He took care of me, and He also took care of my brother. That He gave me the idea to get him with me. And why did Allah do that to us and not you, my brothers? He's teaching them a lesson. Because we, meaning me and my brother Binyamin, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي, we fear Allah, taqwa, وَيَصْبِرْ, we patiently persevered. You guys didn't have the taqwa enough. You didn't patiently persevere enough. And we were muhsinin. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily Allah does not waste the actions and deeds of the good doers. This is verse number 90. We stop over here. We only have 8 more verses, but we don't have time for today. So next Thursday, inshallah, we will finish the story of Yusuf al-Islam, finally. The drop scene, the climax is about to come. Because right now, it's like those, I hate to give this example, because Quran is, but you know, people watch movies, it does look like those movies, Indian movies, that the brother is separated, now they're like, oh, my brother, my separated love brother is coming back from 20 years. The climax scene, the photo op is about to come, but there is one thing left. What is that? The father had become blind. We forgot to mention that. Kazim means person who cries so much that tears come so much, he lost his eyesight. It happens today, even today, to people. There are some people who get so much shocked and stunned because of some loss and grief. They start crying. They cry so much that they say, oh, but you know, they go to the doctor, the eye doctor, he checks, he says, oh, he lost his eyesight. And then they find out symptoms, why, what, oh, he cried so much. So crying also a lot, sometimes can't. But that cry means you have to cry so much, way, way, way much to lose your eyesight. So don't think that if you're crying in tajwid, you're going to lose your eyesight. No, not crying in tajwid makes you lose eyesight. It's the crying of the very highest degree. So that's why the climax has not reached yet, because their father, Yaqub Islam, has become blind because of crying. That has to be fixed. Plus, the brothers are here, all the brothers are here, Yusuf, Binyamin, and the little brother here in the palace, they know each other, happy after everything, but the father is miles, miles away over there. We have to get them back. Father and mother have to come back. The family has to be complete, photo taken, then the story finishes. So, 6 more days, next Thursday we'll finish the session. Let's give us a hand, it's time for Maghrib already. So.